you can tell us like your advice to bunch of educators. That's one group, and another one is policymakers, and the third one is probably like industry leaders that are maybe not in the education field. Yeah, these three groups of people. We start with maybe educators.
To educators, I would say most importantly, understand your value. Educators in our countries, in Asia, don't understand how important they are. They don't realize how important they are. They are the ones who are making or breaking a child's life, and not a child, many children's lives. So educators, I request you all, please understand the difference you can make in a child's life, and that's why you're in education. You're in the miracle business. Because every day you are dealing with miracles that can happen in your classrooms. You have to understand that and realize that the difference you can make is so important. Rather than feeling, no, I'm just a teacher, I'm just an educator, what if? No, you are the one who is building you have the future of our country in your hands. It's up to you what you do with it. So that's my advice to educators, yeah.
The second group of people, policymakers.
Policymakers.
In India, maybe like even in Asia, for example.
Policymakers, come spend time in classrooms. Because that's when you realize what the on-ground problems, issues, scenarios are. You cannot be a policymaker vomiting out policy, sitting in an ivory tower somewhere, when you don't understand what is happening on the ground. It is like when there's a saying that was said, I think it was in the Roman Empire, that they said to the king, you know, king, they don't have bread to eat. The poor people don't have any bread. And he said, so what, give them cake. He didn't understand what was the real problem of the ground. So to policymakers, it's important you come to the ground level, spend time in classrooms, in schools, with students, with teachers, and use that as knowledge when you decide what policy you want to make. Rather than have policy decided by populism or by media or by what will get you more votes. Unfortunately, it tends to veer towards that. What is populist, it may not necessarily be in the benefit of children because you just don't know better.
And the last group of people is actually to industry leaders, maybe not in the education space.
Start recognizing that education is the place where you have to invest more in. Industries tend to invest only in their own industries further to increase their own factories or companies. The next crop of leaders of their country, not even of their company, and not even leaders, even the next workforce, where is it coming from? It's coming from the schools. It's coming from the children, students. You as a company need to invest in the bringing out the best of those children. Because it's in your own interest. Yes, it's a long-term interest, but if you can start skilling those children at an early age, they will be not required to do training again when they enter your school, enter your company. It's important you skill them from the beginning, and you will end up getting a better workforce for your company.
Maybe I can ask you this. Do you have a role model, and why?
My role model is actually my grandmother, my late grandmother. She passed away, but I've also named the trust which runs the school after her. So she was the epitome of calmness and being composed in whatever stress there was. With such a big group of schools that I run, I have a lot of stress because I have so many students who are I'm responsible for at the end of the day. So, with so much stress from all over, she is my role model because I think the best way for me to be able to handle the problems is be calm, be composed, be relaxed, be stress-free. And that's why I think she is my role model. And I think stress is just a part of everyday life. You have to learn how to deal with it. And my way to deal with it is just calm down, relax, realize that worrying is not going to solve the problem anymore. So you might as well keep your mind clean, keep your brain more with dopamine and oxytocin and not with the cortisol, which floods the prefrontal cortex and then makes your brain not operate at its optimal level. Yeah, and she was really one of the people who wanted to make a change in the children's lives. And for her, it was about the poorest of the poorest, underprivileged children. She wanted to make a difference to the lives of those children who did not have the opportunities, the ones in the rural areas. So that is what I learned from her, and now I am taking forward.
Maybe I can ask this. You actually got a Glory of India Award by Deputy PM of
Thailand. Yes.
What happened there?
God is kind, God is great. That's all I would say. But I'm trying to make a difference in education. I'm trying to make a difference in children's lives. A lot of people who are in education right now are in it for profit, are in it for return on investment, are in it for balance sheets. That's not who I am. I want, even though I'm head of the schools, I spend time inside classrooms, meeting with children. And when I see children make a difference, that's what gets me happy. And I guess somewhere along the line, that was recognized by the authorities who saw that in Thailand, and they did bestow me with that award, which I'm very, very humbled by. But one thing I realized with these awards is that with the awards comes more responsibility, because now people are looking up to you to follow you, and that's what's even more important, that it's more of responsibility that I have to continue excelling in making a difference in children's lives.
Continue running the race.
Yes, continue running the race, yeah.
In your own thoughts, how are we building our generation of future leaders today? How are we doing?
We're doing okay, but we can do much better. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of it has become about screen time, which we need to reduce. As I said, children are no more interacting with each other. Even if they're interacting with each other, they would rather interact with each other on a screen, which is no point. We tell our students that, I have parents who come and ask me, you know, that how do I know how much technology is right for my child? When should I stop it? I said, when your child starts replacing playing football in the park with football between his thumbs, you know, then that's a problem. That should not happen. It is happening. It does happen. But that is what really needs to change. And I would tell parents that don't use technology or a phone, smartphone or an iPad to make your child eat or to make your child keep quiet, to make your child stop crying. Or don't let parents need not to give their children presents as in gifts, but they need to give their children their presence, their time. That's what is changing in lives today. Parents are just so busy and they want to do what they want, and they're not necessarily giving enough time or their presence to the children, but they're substituting that with a gift, the present. Here's an iPad. Here's a smartphone. Here, take this and be quiet. I'll continue doing my work. It doesn't work like that. The child needs your time. He needs your love. That's what's important.
Okay.